earlier this month, following the reversal of a nearly three decades old state law, New Yorkers began having the ability to pursue legal, commercial, gestational surrogacy arrangements so they can become parents. Because we're breaking new ground in the Empire State, we want to explore how this system will work, and to do that, we're joined by Parham Zar, a surrogacy expert based in California, where he runs the Egg Donor and Surrogacy Institute, and who plans to open an office in New York City. Welcome to the show, Parham.
Thank you. Nice to be here.
So can you give sort of a basic explanation of the physical mechanics that are involved with a surrogacy arrangement in New York? For example, whose genetic material is used for this process?
So for the law that was passed and that became legal as of February 15 of 2021, commercial gestational surrogacy has been legalized, which means that the surrogate's genetic material will not be used. There will be either the intended parent or an egg donor, intended parent or a sperm donor, and the surrogate will carry the pregnancy.
Under the new state laws, what needs to happen for potential parents who want to take advantage of the surrogacy option? Can you sort of walk me through what they might have to actually go through?
The current law as it is that has passed in New York, of course, is an amazing step forward. It does still, I believe, need refinement, and because it's brand new, there are many things that need to be worked out. But as it is right now, the law gives the greatest amount of protection to the surrogates. So, for example, with this law, the intended parents will have to pay for health insurance for a surrogate for up to a year after the birth, after they give birth to the child of the intended parent. So there are really more restrictions for New York that are in other states at this time.
How do intended parents find a surrogate? Is this on them, or is this sort of the role of agencies like yourself that are looking to operate in New York?
It is. Mostly parents would be going to us as agencies because there are so many factors to consider. For example, for every 100 applicants that we receive to become surrogates, one becomes a surrogate in our program. So it's about 1%. There are many factors that come into play emotionally, psychologically, financially, to make sure that a surrogate is suitable for actually becoming a surrogate. So I think the parents who are looking for a surrogate, even though, of course, they can look for one on their own, they will be saving a lot of time, effort, and energy and finances if they do go through a reputable agency.
If someone decides that gestational surrogacy is the right path for them, how long can this entire process take?
Of course, considering that a pregnancy is roughly about 40 weeks or 10 months,
right,
you have to add to that the matching process, the screenings, the medical procedures. So that will add another 2-3 months. So you're looking at anywhere between 12 to 15 months of a process until the child is born.
How do New York's laws compare to what have been in place for years now in California?
It is more restrictive, and I think it still has a lot of unknowns that need to be worked out. It is a very good step forward. However, when you look at all of the professionals, individuals, the attorneys, the judges, the fertility doctors, everybody who needs to kind of figure out this new law now and how to deal with it, and then the changes that need to happen to make it more streamlined and actually make it easier for the surrogate and also the intended parents, that's a long road ahead.
Well, Sorry, keep going.
Of course, even in California, we still have refinements. Even though surrogacy has been legal in California for about 30 years, we still get refinements to the law almost every year.
Well, what are the sort of unknowns that you mentioned with regards to New York or the areas for refinement as far as you see it in New York?
To give you one example, right now, so if, for example, a surrogate is married, does her husband need to be a part of the contract, or whether she alone will be able to enter into a contract on behalf of herself with the intended parents. There are so many other factors to consider.
The state law, by design, is supposed to be very protective of a surrogate's rights. It has various hoops for the intended parents to jump through. Do you think these measures might be a deterrent for some New Yorkers who might otherwise be interested in this form of surrogacy?
I think at this point it might be, because when you look at those portions of the law that are prohibitive, they create challenges for some people. And I think as we go through the stages of really implementing the law, we can really see how it is going to play out, how judges are going to interpret the law, and how they are going to implement it.
Under the state's law, what happens if a surrogate decides she wants to keep the baby? Does she have that right? And when can she make that decision?
Under the state law, as it is written, she does not, because she is a gestational surrogate, she will not have a right to keep the baby. It is not her genetic material that's being used. But that is a very good question, and that is one that one has to really carefully observe and see how the law will really unfold.
Intended parents need to pay for, as you mentioned, a surrogate's health insurance, and there's also legal fees and whatever payments they set up for carrying the baby. How much could this all end up costing future parents?
Surrogacy, when you consider the costs of the IVF and add to that the medications and the surrogacy cost, which is the legal cost, the compensation to the surrogate, the court fees, the hospital where the surrogate gives birth, and all of those things, when you look at the total cost, it could be anywhere between $100,000 to $150,000 of expenses for the intended parent.
So from a practical standpoint, you know, regardless of this law change, is gestational surrogacy still kind of then not a realistic option then for most New Yorkers because of the price tag?
You know, the desire to have a child is very strong. And for those who really want, who have no other option but to have the child this way, they can always, you know, find a way to make this miracle happen for themselves. However, you're absolutely correct that this is a rather expensive endeavor for intended parents. I think our next fight, for lack of a better word, should be to really have conversations with the insurance company to be able to make surrogacy more accessible to more intended parents.
For the agencies themselves that help facilitate these arrangements, how do they get paid? Is that sort of just a set fee based on the services they provide, or is their payment, you know, based on sort of the percentage of money that might be, say, spent on the surrogate and their payment?
Usually it's not at all based on what the surrogate is getting paid. It's every agency sets their own, how much they're compensated for their services. Mm-hmm. And it should not be tied to any compensation that is received by the surrogate.
Listeners of our show will be familiar with the story of State Senator Brad Hoyleman, a Manhattan Democrat who went to California when he and his husband wanted to have a child. From your experience, how common are stories like that involving New Yorkers who previously traveled out of state?
It's extremely common because up to this point, New Yorkers had no other choice but to whether straight, heterosexual, same-sex, gay couple, single man, single woman, they had no choice but to go to other states if they wanted to have a child. And of course, California has been the hub for more than 30 years of surrogacy. So they would usually come to California.
You've had your own business in this industry for about 20 years now. How did you get into this field?
It's been the biggest passion of my life. It was by chance that I got into this field about 20 years ago. But anyone who knows me knows that having families and having children is the biggest passion of my life. And I always joke that I've had over 1,000 babies, and I really feel like every single one of them is like my own.
It's been reported that you're interested in opening an office in New York City. What's the status of that operation, and what is it about New York that you find appealing that makes you want to open an operation here?
What I think is phenomenal is that now surrogacy is legal in New York, number one. And I think the fact that we are bringing our 20 years of experience within the world of surrogacy to New York is a real advantage for the intended parents in New York. I'm truly excited and delighted that we are taking this step. Our office will be up and running as of March 1. And so I think it's terrific to bring all of the experience that we have to New York as well.
Do you think there's going to be a lot of agencies that want to open up in New York, considering it's, you know, one of the third or fourth largest states in the nation and until now has not had a legal option? I mean, do you expect there to be a lot of demand for these services?
I believe there will be a lot of demand, but just like we will have agencies and lawyers and really IVF clinics and all the professionals, psychologists that deal with third-party reproduction need to now become familiar and to really start helping people in New York. I think more and more individuals, professionals, will look at New York as a possibility for growing their business.
When we were reporting on the legislation dealing with gestational surrogacy, one of the things we heard from opponents was their concerns about, you know, bad actor agencies in other states. For New Yorkers who are going to pursue this option and, you know, are looking for the right agency, what are some ways they can vet a potential agency to ensure that they're finding a reputable organization to do business with and to enter this really, you know, big chapter of their life with?
This is a very important question. What I always tell the intended parents is make sure that you build the best army around yourself and make sure that you do have the best professionals around you, whether it's the doctors, the lawyers, the agency, even the surrogate. Make sure that you have the most professional ones in your corner as you go into battle over creating the miracle of your child.
But if someone, you know, has no experience in this, how can they tell a good actor from a bad actor? Are there certain ways that you think they should be able to, you know, vet people?
Absolutely. We do have a lot of information on our website at eggdonorandsurrogacy.com. They can read. They can become informed. They need to talk to as many people as possible. If they have any questions, I will be happy to be a resource for them and to answer any questions they have. The most important thing is to talk to as many agencies, talk to as many lawyers, and really educate yourself. That is the most important thing. And also, I mean, it is, you know, when you talk to companies that are that have a professional presence, that they have the right professionals working with them, the right team and the right staff, rather than someone who possibly has been a surrogate and now has decided that they want to get into this business, which would be amazing. But if they're working, for example, out of just their garage or something that's not, you know, you want to build the right team around you so that if emergencies come up, if challenges appear, which they always do, always, always do, you want to make sure that you have a professional team around you that will be there to solve your problem, or at least be a participant in the solutions that are coming through, not to just disappear on you.
Because New York system is basically starting from scratch right now, do you anticipate that there will be enough surrogates to meet the demand from potential parents, at least initially?
As we are right now recruiting for surrogates, there's a lot of things to consider. You know, when we look at a surrogate, there are emotional aspects, psychological aspects, the family environment, the financial stability of the surrogate, the support that the surrogate has. So there is so much that is taken into consideration when we consider who is a good surrogate. From what I see now in New York, we will have some amazing surrogates.
But do you think at least, you know, in the first days and weeks of this system being legal, that there will be a shortage of surrogates? I mean, because obviously parents can just decide right now they want to pursue this option, but, you know, agencies like yourself might not have all the surrogates lined up that you need.
When we do our work, we always make sure that we have good, suitable surrogates available for our intended parents. Will it be a challenge for all of us to make sure that we are vetting these surrogates properly? Absolutely. But I think that is the most important thing, to make sure that this journey becomes the right journey, both for the surrogate and the intended parent. So there is no shortcut that we can take in order to have more surrogates. We need to take our time and make sure that a surrogate is absolutely suitable to become a surrogate.
If there's a New Yorker and they're listening to this conversation right now, and she says, you know, maybe this is a right option for me, what makes a good surrogate? Does it have to be about, you know, your heart in the right place, for example, or can it, you know, be done successfully if it is solely motivated by financial reasons? What is it that makes a good surrogate?
You know, I've done a couple of webinars with some of our existing surrogates, and this is the most important question that I ask them, and I wish you would listen to them and hear what they say. The financial aspect is absolutely important, but it is not the driving factor. And if it is, I guarantee you that the woman will not be a good surrogate, because it takes a lot of commitment. It requires shots. It requires a lot of emotional investment for a woman to become a surrogate. So the financial aspect of it, even though it is important and it helps the surrogate and her family in achieving something in their life, if it is the most important factor to her, I guarantee you she will not be a surrogate or will not be a good surrogate.
Well, we've been speaking with Parham Zar, Managing Director of the Egg Donor and Surrogacy Institute in California, who plans to open an office in New York City. Parham, thank you so much for making the time. I really appreciate it.
My pleasure. Thank you for speaking with me.
Support for the Capital Press Room is provided by the New York State AFL-CIO, a federation of 3,000 unions fighting for working people by keeping New York State union strong. UnionStrongNY.com for more information.